Welcome to another edition of Things You Know That Just Aren't So, and Important News You Need to Know. Presented by Patrick A. Heller of award-winning Liberty Coin Service in Lansing. Take it away, Pat.
Good morning. Here's the rest of my reflection on the Bank of England's gold sale fiasco, announced 20 years ago this month. In late September 1999, at the annual meeting of the International Monetary Fund held in Washington, D.C., another major effort to suppress the gold price occurred with the signing of the Central Bank Gold Agreement. The then 11 member central banks of the European Central Bank, the European Central Bank itself, plus central banks of Sweden, Switzerland, and the United Kingdom signed this agreement. Several other central banks also agreed to abide within the terms of this agreement. The pact limited combined annual central bank gold sales to no more than 400 tons, which is almost 13 million ounces. Although this might appear to limit gold sales, the amount of the apparent influx of supplies on the market was so large that it did hold down gold prices for several years. Gold prices finally started to soar after central banks were no longer able to sell anywhere close to the agreement's annual limit. Since then, global central bank gold purchases have far exceeded sales. Last year, for instance, central banks reportedly purchased over 650 tons of gold, the most since 1967. Although I need to point out that the correct total is almost certainly much larger because of China's pattern to repeatedly underreport its gold purchases. In the first quarter of this year, the World Gold Council reported that the total gold purchased by central banks was the highest for that quarter in 6 years. By the way, although the gold sale pushed by Gordon Brown was a financial catastrophe for the British government and the Bank of England, it didn't hurt Brown's political career. He served as Britain's Prime Minister from 2007 through 2010. The takeaway from this reflection on the Bank of England's gold sale fiasco is that physical gold and silver have served as money for several thousands of years and never once failed. Fiat currencies, meaning on-back paper money, have a median life of 25 years before they collapse. Which would you rather own? That's it for today. Come back next Wednesday for more Things You Know That Just Aren't So and Important News You Need to Know. I'm Patrick A. Heller, Communications Officer of Liberty Coin Service in Lansing. Thank you for listening.
This is a paid advertisement. The previous views expressed do not necessarily reflect those of 1320 WILS or MacDonald Broadcasting.